Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 says this: Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive approval. For he is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we endeavor into your word this morning to understand and obey it, would you soften our hearts to respond to our authorities the way that Jesus did? To place our hands in your hands by believing that you're capable to fulfill your will through those individuals. And as we do that, Lord, as we obey you, may it bring you great praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God and country. Something to remember. An old soldier once told me, he said, you see our American flag there, he once told me, he said, you know why there is a gold ribbon around the American flag in churches and in courthouses? I said, no, I just thought it was a more expensive flag, right? A little decoration. He said, no, it's a reminder to us that there's a higher authority than the government. Do you know that? When we think about our country, we need to always remember that those who are ruling over us are not accountable to us, they're accountable to God. And that we, as those who are servants to them, servants to God by serving them, by submitting to them, that we are accountable to God. He begins the passage by saying, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. So he doesn't mince words here. He says, we are all called by God to place ourselves under the authority God has given rule over our lives. So that means we don't get to say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm in a unique situation. All right. My situation is harder than you can imagine. And so because my situation is harder than you can imagine, I don't really have to submit to the authorities. I don't really have to place myself in submission underneath those who are governing me. Now, this would apply to not only our government, but students, this would apply to your teachers and to your principals and to your coaches, and adults, this would apply to your bosses and your supervisors, all of those individuals who are placed in authority over you. And you say, in my situation, it's more difficult than you can imagine, and so I don't really need to submit to them because they're sinful individuals. So I want to remind you, as we're reading and studying this passage, that Paul is writing this under the reign of Nero. Nero is an emperor of Rome who hates Christianity and is in more general terms a madman who was, if you understand the history of Nero, Nero's mother wanted him to be the emperor, but there was a sibling who was the next heir to the throne, so his mother killed the sibling. And then Nero was afraid that his mother would take control, so Nero killed his mother. So when Paul is writing, he is writing under the submission to a government that hates him, that is persecuting him, that is killing the people of the church. And his words are, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. So because of the situation that God placed Paul in when writing this letter, we have to say, okay, there is no situation I can be in where I do not have to obey this instruction. He says the reason for this is there is no authority except from God. God is the one who determines authority is necessary. God decided that. God decided that we need people in charge of us. How many of you think that you don't need anybody in charge of you? No? We think that we should be free, autonomous individuals who can do whatever they want to do. And the truth is, we need individuals in our lives that are guiding and directing us in the way that we should go. You've read about some of the terrible things that are happening in Christendom right now with the fall of some of our premier leaders. In both cases, those premier leaders had placed themselves in a position where they were not accountable to anybody. And so they were getting away with all kinds of evil, even in the church. So God has determined that authority is a necessary thing. So that's why we submit to our authorities, all right? And those who exist have been instituted by God. So God has determined, first of all, that we need authority. God has determined also that every position of authority is there, or we realize also that every position of authority is there because God has established it. So not only do we need authority, but God has determined what authority we need. And some of you say, oh, Pastor, I have the worst, most incompetent boss in the world. I don't need to submit to their authority. No, actually you do. That's the individual that God thinks is best for you right now as your authority. Then he says in verse 2, therefore whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. So not doing what our authorities ask of us is standing against God's established rule in our lives. I remember when I was in high school, I had a high school basketball coach who was probably very good. He must have been very good because after I graduated from high school, he coached the high school for two more years, and then he went to coach a college basketball team. So he must have known something about the game of basketball, but as a senior in high school, he was doing some things that I didn't agree with. And one day in practice, I always worked hard in practice. One of the guys was not putting in all of the effort that he should have been. He was being lazy. And the coach called him out on it, and he made us all run sprints because of this guy. And then we went back to practicing again. And this guy was being lazy again. And so he made us all run sprints because of this guy again. And then we started practicing again. And the same guy was being lazy again. And we went down to the line, and I went and I sat on the bench. And I said, I am giving my full effort. I'm not running for him again. I was captain of the basketball team. And I spent the next six games sitting on the bench next to him. I decided that he just didn't know what he was doing, and he was a terrible coach. And so I would argue with him in practice, and I would fight with him. And then I gave my life to the Lord. And the Lord started convicting me about the way that I had treated this authority of mine. And when I came back home from my first year away from home, came back home at Christmas break, the Lord had me, he had one specific assignment for me that I had to do. I had to go to Coach Souls and say, I was wrong. You know, my attitude towards him, you know what it did? It destroyed the basketball season for everybody who was on that team. About a year later, I was playing basketball, open gym basketball in my hometown, in my high school, and I'm playing, and an eighth grader, now a ninth grader, I guess, comes up, and he says, hey, who is this guy? And they introduce me. He says, this is Chad Nightingale. And I am out doing evangelistic work all over the country and overseas, and this kid comes up, and he says, Chad Nightingale. You're the guy who used to yell at Coach Souls all the time. Do you think even if I was justified in my anger towards him, that it was worth losing my testimony to that kid? No way. Not doing what our authorities ask of us is standing against God's established rule in our lives. We don't get to decide whether or not we agree with them or not. When it comes to our authorities, our opinions do not matter, and those who resist will incur judgment. When we stand against authority, there will be consequences. When we decide, all right, I'm not going to do what they say, I have to be willing to pay the consequence for not doing what they say. Now maybe you are standing for something because they have asked you to do something that that opposes God's rule in our lives. Maybe they're saying you can't share the gospel anymore. So you continue to share the gospel, but guess what else you do? When they come to arrest you, you give them your hands and you say, okay, take me away. Yep, I broke the law. And when you let me out again, I'm going to break it again. And you can put me back in jail, I don't care. When we stand against authority, there's going to be consequences. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Rulers do not bring judgment on those who do not oppose them. Those individuals who say, well, I got in trouble because that police officer didn't like me. You got in trouble because that police officer, you opposed their authority. That's why you got in trouble. You say, I got in trouble because that teacher doesn't like me. You got in trouble because you opposed the authority of that teacher. That's why you got in trouble. Because the Bible tells us, this is coming from the scriptures, rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. So the only time we get in trouble with our authorities is when we don't do what those authorities ask us to do. Do they always ask us to do the right thing? Do authorities always ask the right thing? Do they always have the correct judgment? No, they don't. And sometimes we have to submit to their bias and their problems and their issues. But we still have to submit to them. If you don't want to be afraid of the authorities over you, Paul says, would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Do you not want to be afraid of the authorities? Tracy and I got pulled over by a police officer the other night. We were driving down, what's that road, Veterans? Parkway. We were driving down Parkway. And all of a sudden we see these lights behind us, and because of the lights we couldn't see that there was a car between us and the police officer. And so saw the lights, and so I pulled over, and then I realized he was pulling over the car behind me. But I wasn't sure what I'm supposed to do now, right? What are you supposed to do? A police officer pulls over a car and you pull over. It's like, I'm not speeding off now, right? But Tracy's looking at me and she's going, "Were you speeding?" I'm like, "I don't think so. I think I'm good, right? I think that I was fine. I think that I was obeying all the laws. I think that I'm good." And all of a sudden, this car behind us pulls off, and a police officer comes up to our window and he says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I didn't know what to do. You pulled that other car over, and I thought you were pulling us over, and I didn't know we were supposed to go or not." And he goes, "Well, were you breaking any laws?" And Tracy's like, "No, we're not breaking any laws." And I'm like, "I don't think so." He let us go. He says, "Have a nice night." But when we are confronted with authority, we go, "Oh man, are we in trouble? Do I have a did I do something wrong? Are they going to find something wrong?" Right? If you do not want to be afraid of the authorities or over you, do what you know they desire and you'll have their approval. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good and you will receive his approval. We just do what we're supposed to do. Always. We just always do what we're supposed to do. For he is God's servant for your good. So if you don't want to be afraid of the authorities who are over you, do what you know they desire and you will have their approval, then trust God to do what is good for you. This is a crucial part of the whole passage for us. Because when we submit to our authorities, who oftentimes are not just and not good, and they don't think the same way that we do about life that they do, we submit to their authority and we say, "All right, Lord, you do whatever is good for me. I'm just going to trust you in this thing." But if you do wrong, because sometimes we do wrong. I have been pulled over by a police officer because I was speeding, and I have gotten a ticket. In fact, I got pulled over a few years ago for speeding, and I got a ticket. And it was my first ticket in like 10 or 12 years. And I had a police detective in my congregation, and I told him about it. And he said, "Do you want me to take care of that for you?" And I had to say, "No, I actually know that I was speeding. I didn't know that I was speeding until I got pulled over, and then I realized that I was speeding, but I was breaking the law," right? So, but if you do wrong, so if you do not do what is asked of you by those who have authority over you, you should be worried about the consequences because they will use their authority against you. Now, this is talking about governmental authorities. This is talking about those who rule over us, our bosses, our teachers, and all those individuals. How many students here, I won't make you raise your hand, but how many students here have ever had an assignment not completed for the teacher when you got to class, and you sat there waiting and going, "Please don't collect it. Please don't collect it. Please don't collect it," right? Because you're terrified of the consequences of not having done what they asked you to do. How many men here have been left home alone and your wife said, "I just have one thing for you to do today. One thing." And you decided that your thing was more important than her thing. How trembling were you when she got home and her thing wasn't done, right? Because when we don't do what we're asked to do, then we are afraid. You should be, he says. Be afraid. Because he does not bear the sword in vain. Which means you should be worried about the consequences because they will use their authority against you. That means, students, if you don't have your homework done, you're going to get a bad grade for not having that homework done. And that means, adults, if you don't do the job that you were assigned by your boss, then you're going to be in trouble. And men, if you don't do what your wife has asked you to do when you're home alone, then you're probably going to sleep on the couch. All right? There will be consequences for not doing what you're asked to do. For, why? For he is the servant of God. We have to remember this. We have to remember this when a Republican is in office and we're a Democrat. And we need to remember this when a Democrat is in office and we're a Republican. And we have to remember this when the person who is in office, we're not sure what they are. All right? We have to remember that they are God's servant for our good. That's why they're there. For he is the servant of God. God is going to use them according to his desires. So even though you don't like the situation that you're in, or you don't like the situation that we're in, God is using that situation to put you and to develop you the way that he desires to. He's an avenger who carries out God's wrath against the wrongdoer. He will use them to punish those who do not do what is right. Therefore, one must be in subjection. So because God is in charge, God's the one we're submitting to. Wives, if you don't have a good husband, when you submit to your husband, you're not submitting to them, you're submitting to God. Employees, if you don't have a good boss, when you're submitting to them, you're not submitting to your boss, you're submitting to God. Students, when you submit to a teacher or a coach or a principal who's not good and fair, you're not submitting to them, you're submitting to God. Realizing authorities are God's servants, we place ourselves under their rule. We say, okay, I'm going to obey them because God has asked me to obey them. Not only to avoid God's wrath. So first of all, because there's going to be consequences for our disobedience. If we don't do what God has asked us to do, there is consequences for it in our lives. Not because he doesn't love us. He loves us. Those whom I love, I discipline and chasten. I had to punish one of my children yesterday. I hate doing it. And I said, I love you too much not to do this right now. Right? Those whom he loves, he disciplines and chastens. So there will be consequences from God for our disobedience, but also for the sake of conscience, because we want to be obedient to God from our hearts. Deep down, we want to be able to say, oh, I obeyed God. I'm good. Do whatever you want to me. My conscience is clear. Verse 6, for because of this, and here's the outworking of it, because of this, you also pay taxes. It's interesting that the Lord has arranged this way for me because I have to pay taxes tomorrow. And something happened when we moved to Illinois and the tax rate for us went way up, right? I was like, first time I got a tax bill while we were here, I was like, what is this, right? For because of this you pay taxes. The government's authority over us, given by God, is why we pay their taxes. And some of you go, oh, yes, but I don't pay taxes. Some people say, I don't pay taxes because I don't agree with how the government is using that money. All I have to say is, again, Paul's writing this in the days of Nero, and I promise you, Nero was not using that money for just purposes. Mostly for his fun. For the authorities are ministers of God because God has established them for his work in this world. So we pay them taxes. We say, all right, we're paying for the work you're doing because you're doing God's work, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. Attending to this very thing because they are fulfilling God's plan in this world. Whether you like who's in leadership in our government, in the state of Illinois, or in the country or not, Those individuals are fulfilling God's will for this world. So pay to all who is owed them. Pay to all what is owed to them. Command, give what is demanded by the position of those who are in authority over us. Taxes, to whom taxes are owed. So if we owe taxes, guess what we do? We pay taxes. You ought to be able to fill these blanks in all by yourself. If we are given a fine, we pay the fine. Revenue, to whom revenue is owed. When given the opportunity for showing respect, we show respect. They say, what would you do, Pastor? What would you do if a politician came into your church that you didn't agree with? Say, I would treat them well. I would show them honor. Why? Because God said to. Not because I like what they do. Not because I agree with their decisions, but because God has told them to show them honor, told us to show them honor. When given the opportunity for expressing awareness of their position given by God, we honor them. So when we realize God has put this individual in a position to fulfill his plans for this world, we honor them for being in that position. We speak well of them. Drives me nuts. Drives me nuts that children today call our president Trump. Oh, look what Trump did. Look what Trump did. Drove me nuts when they called our president Obama. Look what Obama did. Look what Obama did. It's President Obama. It's President Trump. It doesn't matter whether you like them or not. We are told by God to honor them. So how are we going to respond to God's word in our lives? We turn around. This is your work for this week if you choose to take it on and to grow together. As the world grows more and more into a world of everyone doing what is right in their own eyes and everyone's thoughts being evil continually, authority is losing its ability to do what God has established them to do. Every decision is up for debate and every word spoken is dissected. Presidents and state leaders are the central theme of most comedic performances. Teachers, coaches, parents, police officers are treated as a nuisance to our lives rather than servants of God for our good. In a world that is moving away from respect and honor to our authorities, we need to be the example of submission to them. The body of Christ must treat the authorities around us as individuals established by God. And so how are we going to do that this week? Some questions for you to answer. What authorities has God established in your life? Have you thanked them? Have you thanked those authorities for how God is using them in your life? How will you respond when you've been given the opportunity to show them honor? And how will you respond when you're preparing to pay taxes this spring? I ask you to read from the book of Samuel. This is David and Saul when Saul is hunting him down. A madman hunting him down. And how David chose to respond. And you'll learn how we are supposed to respond when we do not like the rule that is over us. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing America the Beautiful. Not because I think everything is right in this land, but because I believe that unless the grace of God is shining upon us, we will be destroyed.